with chocolate treats mixed into dark chocolate ice cream, the Tillamook Chocolate Collection is a chocolate game changer. Because the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Look at that machine, let those hands go. Man, the speed.
Tisha, tiny tornado, Torres.
It just took a lot of work for me to actually believe in my hands a lot more. You know, I have power behind them that a lot of people haven't even seen.
All right, there she is, Raquel Pennington.
Fired an overhand left, and Burgos didn't see it.
He said power versus precision. I guess the power won this tonight.
There he is, Josh Emmett.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it. Tell him, Jimmy. Good to see you.
I'm very good, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, brother.
A few things to cover today. We have Raquel Pennington and Tisha Torres together. Being partners, it's easy to get them at the same time, which is perfect. Oh, and nice. With Josh Emmett, fight of the night over Shane Burgos. What a fucking fight. There was some really good ones. And a couple of strange moments too, Matt. I'd love to get your take on one of these things.
Talk to me, Jimmy. Going. Talk to me.
Austin Hubbard over Max Roshkoff. I think I'm saying his name right.
I 100% want to talk about that.
He was doing, and this was, he didn't come out for the third round. Now, obviously in the first round, he only had 10 days to get ready. He, I guess, his first fight in the UFC, big, you know, he's 5-5-5-0, I think, or five fights. I don't know if he's undefeated. And he was really dangerous on the ground, going for submissions and going for leg locks and heel hooks. What do you think happened to him in that second round? Because he started to really get tagged, knees to the body, shots to the body, taking some really hard shots. And he looked very, very lost, being unable to shoot for a takedown. He looked very lost in the stand-up. Is that the level difference, Matt, in the UFC? Or is it because he was just tired, or is it a combination?
Now, it could be, listen, it's his first fight in the UFC, and it was on short notice. He did not have a camp. So you got to just, you know, you're taking a shot. Now, in on the same card, just in this has something to do with this, you had Justin James fighting Frank Camacho, okay? And Justin, again, that guy took this on even less notice, so something like
4 days or some shit, yeah.
Something insane. So now, the difference in – let's just compare these two fights, because one was a huge payoff, and that guy doesn't regret taking it, Justin. He's happy he took the fight.
I hope he doesn't regret it.
And then there's Max, where – I'm sure, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but he's like, shit, man, I wish I would have had a few more weeks on a VersaClimber. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So now look, they both tried to finish it hard early, which is smart if you do not have a camp. You want to try, listen, I might not be able to go three rounds. I'm going to go hard in this first, look to take him out. The difference is the styles. Now you got Max, who's with Robert Drysdale, jiu-jitsu stud, doesn't look bad on his feet, but you saw, even the way he went for that leg lock, he grabbed the leg and he almost went like for a high kick, and he went over into a beautiful transition into something you call double trouble.
Where that was amazing.
Legs wrapped up. Listen, this kid has a ton of potential, but, you know, the thing is, when a guy survives, and hey, a lot of credit to Austin Hubbard for surviving the submission onslaught by Max. How do you pronounce Max's last name?
Roshkoff.
I believe. Max Roshkoff has great jiu-jitsu. But the difference is this. If a guy is cool, calm, and collective, all right, he escaped arm bars 1,000 times, he knows how to get out of somebody's back control, and, you know, and he could survive that. he's not really worse to wear if he's got good conditioning.
Right.
Where you look at the fight with Justin James and Frank Camacho, Justin, heavy hands.
Yeah.
Hurt him. And there was no chance. I mean, it's a different attack, striking attack. But man, he jumped on him. What was that, 40 something seconds? So even if Frank got past that and survived it, he might have been worse to wear. Yeah. And all of a sudden, his conditioning might be on par with the guy who had, might be on the same level for the guy who didn't have enough time to get in shape. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But obviously he didn't survive that. And props to Justin for that, which was an insane fight. But back to Austin and Max. Austin showed great poise. And again, he survived. That's probably the experience. He survived. And out of that, he was getting ready for Joe Selecki, who is a very, very dangerous jiu-jitsu black belt. Very heavy on the ground. So he's probably training for 2 months, just getting out of shit and getting up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that was a nice mix right there. A mix of a different of opponent where it's another heavy submission-oriented fighter.
Right.
But what I did not like is, listen, man, you know you're it's one thing to have to try to push your fighter. And I know Robert Drysdale. I've been to his school before. He's a nice guy, very cool guy. And he's been in there, so he knows what's up. And it's one thing to try to gas up your fighter, motivate. But when your fighter's telling you 8 or 9 times that he wants you to call it.
Call it.
And he's got – no, he's done. Now, what do you want this kid to do, take more abuse? He did not win the prior rounds. He lost. He lost 2 rounds, right? Yeah. Now he's going into the third. And he took bad shots the second round.
Right.
He's got a bright future. It should have been, hey, man, we know we took this thing on whatever, a week's notice or less, whatever it was.
Sure.
I thought that was worse than when people were giving shit to Anthony Lionheart Smith's fight versus
Glover Teixeira.
Yes. Yes, Glover. Yes, Glover. I think people, you know, he said, you know, I don't have my, you know, I'm losing my teeth. I don't have my teeth are falling out.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. That was bad. So people are saying, listen, he's got pride. He just, you know, he's kind of letting them know it's up to the corner to step in. No. He yes and no. That could be debated. But there's nothing to debate here. The guy's saying he wants out. He wants fucking out. I'm done. Call it. Call it. I'm done. Oh. Now you make him say it to the official? Come on. That's not cool. You know, you gotta have a better. And I like Robert, man. I don't want to jump on him, but shit, man, it's got to be held accountable. You gotta look out for your guy, man. His pride. Hey, man, we gave it a good shot. You're taking a beating now. It's not like we had 2 months to train for this thing,
right?
Guy's being lazy or being a pussy because he's in shape. And man, he took this thing basically without a camp. You know,
right? And that's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah, as a coach, how do you handle that?
I don't want to be the guy on the sideline saying I would have done this, but I never had that happen to me. The closest thing I had was I had a fighter that wasn't, his heart wasn't really being a fighter. He was more of a jiu-jitsu guy. And this was in the lower leagues. And at one point they stood him up and he was on top of the guy and they stood him up and he didn't have anything wrong with him. And he went to the, and he, they brought him back to my corner and the other guy, and he goes, no. If they stand us up, I'm not fighting. I go, hey, dude. I was going to hit him with the fucking stool. I was like, hey, man, no, you're fucking fighting. You're going to get on top this round. Don't sweat it. And he went up going in there and he got a takedown and ended up winning. But that guy wasn't a fighter in his heart.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's a different circumstance. And the guy wasn't taking a beating. He was just upset and he was afraid to be on the feet. That's not like this. This guy gave it all. He tried to take him out. Oh, he showed some really, really nice jiu-jitsu. I want to see this kid back again. I'm glad they didn't let him out for the third round. You know, they don't. You don't know what a severe beating could do to your career. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And some guys don't get over that. Some guys, and some guys mentally, it's hard to get over. His coach should have been like, "Look, man, we know we took this thing when we were on the couch. Let's. All right, you showed some skill set. You sure?
Yeah.
You
should
go on.
You look great in the first round.
You're telling me you can't continue. He told him like fucking 9 times. You know what I mean? What's up, girls? I'm sorry, Tisha. Were you about to take a nap? I saw you relaxing. I'm sorry. Jimmy was talking my ear off. We keep you guys waiting?
No. She's like, I'm out.
Hey, congratulations, girls.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, how did that feel? I mean, let me ask you, Raquel, were you how did it feel backstage? Because I fought before with my teammates on the same card, and that could be nerve-wracking enough, you know? Like, if my wife or my better half was fighting on the same card, I might be a nervous mess. How were you backstage?
So, listen, I thought I was great because normally Tisha's the more emotional one, and she's like, I cannot fight after you. So, we were both actually really excited that she was fighting before me for that reason. And then we were sitting at the PI, and Tisha came out, and, like, I lost it. And I was like, now I know why she wanted to go first. And I started freaking out, and everybody started laughing at me. So all the other guys were sitting with me, plus my coach. And they were like, it's all right. She's got it. But, I mean, during camp, that was pretty much our dynamic anyways. She trained before me, and then I trained after her. So it kind of felt the same. There was just way more emotions behind it.
Was that on purpose? Did you do it for that reason, or no, it just worked out that way?
It just worked out that way. We figured I would fight later in the night just because of the rankings and stuff. So it worked out.
Tisha, this was a great win for both of you, but Tisha, this was a huge win for you coming off a few losses. Did you feel this, like, I have to get this one? And what did it feel like to get? Because they were all decisions. I mean, you're in every fight you have.
I felt like I had to get the win, but my coaches wanted me to just focus on going in there and putting on my best performance. I'm glad I did come out with the win. It was a dominant win. I felt like myself a bit more there and like the tiny tornado that most people enjoy watching.
I know how it is after a couple of losses, and it really shows your mental toughness because, you know, one loss, it's like, all right, I'll get that back. Two, it could be like, all right, shit, man, this might be three. Three, it could be like, it's my job. You said you felt the pressure. What did your coaches, like, how did they channel your zen? How did they keep you calm? Being like, maybe your job's at stake.
They've never said that to me. My coaches are very positive, and they know how emotionally sensitive I can be. So they tend to turn things around in the best light for me. And then just having Raquel as well, them there telling me, you know, that I am one of the best in the world, and I just truly need to believe that. That's what I guess separates me from some of the girls in the past, is because I didn't believe in myself enough. And I'm still continuing to gain confidence, but I really am truly one of the best in the world. And there's only a little bit of snippet that, separates me from the top. So
you, you're emotional, meaning do you get sad or do you panic or does it interfere with your ability to train? How does it affect you?
All of the above. So I have mental health issues. So that's a big part of my ability, but I'm taking medicine currently for that. So that's just something I have to deal with every day, challenge in itself. But I've been doing really good since I've been on my medicine and helping.
I don't know about you, but I'm a spiraler. I spiral. Like I can take one little moment and it just confirms everything. And next thing you know, I'm looking at the balcony. I'm like, just fucking jump. Like, it's just not normal thinking.
Yeah. That's
Tisha. She'll
take one thing and then it's just down the rabbit hole from there. And it's like, can we slow down and go back to like the top where we were even at? But no, she did really good. This camp for her was a solid camp. She definitely shifted gears. We've been trying to get her to shift gears. She's an extremely talented athlete, and she would go into the gym, and the fighter that she is in the gym, we're like, Tisha, if you would just go out there and put that in the octagon, like, you're going to be world champion tomorrow. And so finally this camp, we got her to where it was less focused on the rounds, because she's like, did I win that round? Did I win this? Did I win that? And it's like, stop worrying about winning and just worry about max effort. That's it. You go out there and you put your max effort, win is going to follow it. And we had to just remind her of that. And then I think she just started having a lot of fun. So that made a big difference.
Right. Not control the results. Just do it. Do the best you can do and anything, but not try to predict or control the outcome of it.
Yep. Because you can't control that.
And being that both you guys were on the same card, usually when I'm fighting, like during camp, I can get irritable. I can get nasty. I can whatever. And you know, my wife's got a deal because she knows what's going on. Now I can imagine with both you guys going through camp, how was the emotions? Were you guys just both high fiving and fucking hitting the roadwork, or was it you growling at each other. How was the camp leading up to this? Were both you guys in the same house, I'd imagine?
We actually have a really good dynamic because normally when I'm in camp and Tisha's not in camp, I'm super grumpy because Tisha's sitting there eating cakes and cookies and all the things, and it just really pisses me off. But with her medicine that she's on, it took her weight up a little bit. So she actually had to learn what it was like to diet this time around. So we had a really good dynamic because we were like in the kitchen together and having to like just be on the same page with that. And then we separated our fight camps 100%. So it was like, she would go to the gym and then I would go to the gym. And so it was like, then we can come home in between and just talk to each other about our sessions. And then every now and then we had a training session, like her partner or something would flake out or whatnot, and she would still want to get a spar in. So I would like spar her a few rounds and then get a break and then be able to do my own spar. And then we can just talk about it and like support each other. So overall, I think it was a great dynamic. I was pretty happy with it on my end.
No, I enjoyed it too. It was nice. Like I would train, I'd say hello to her, have a good practice, go home, be able to rest, and then see her again. And as far as like as the house goes, like I'm not a detail cleaner. I'm a surface cleaner. I throw shit away, and then she can't see it. It's good. She likes to, you know, scrub things down. So she does the cleaning. I do the cooking, and it really is a good balance there.
Yeah, we had a good balance.
You're like, if there's things piled up, you're like, just make the pile neater and put them in the closet where we don't have to look at them. And she's more like, let's throw this shit out. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. And when I open doors and stuff falls out, oh my gosh, no, thank you.
That's like me, man. I'm getting yelled at a lot during quarantine because I'm a bit of a pig. And my wife's always like, I'm finding socks. I'm finding shirts. I don't know. I get yelled at. When you girls, we'll get back to the fighting in a second. When you're at home, you're relaxing. What are you guys watching? What are you guys streaming? I always like to find new shows. I got through Ozark, and now I'm watching Rico. But what are you guys watching?
We watched Ozark all three seasons.
Watched everything you can think of.
Quarantine. I've watched Waco. She didn't watch Waco with me.
Oh.
I love documentaries, so I'm watching every single one that comes out pretty much. I tried to get her to watch
those. Yeah, we went through and we watched Scandal. We watched Designated Survivor. I started rewatching Nashville.
What's Nashville? What is that?
It's like a country, stars show. I love country. I'm a country girl. So
you love country.
Yeah.
The only country music I like is Johnny Cash. Considered country. What is he?
He's country, but isn't that like saying I'm a big rap fan? I like Run DMC. Like when you say Johnny Cash, it's like you don't go very deep with country. Yeah,
I'm not a huge country. I'm not really. Yeah. I don't really know who's in.
Yeah, we got listening to some like George Strait, Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah,
he looks like he's
out of the I don't know. It's like you're speaking Japanese to me. I don't know any country music. You know, I wouldn't be good in the line dance or whatever that. What do you call that?
Line dancing.
I knew it was line dancing. Where are you living now?
Colorado Springs.
Oh, what part of the country is that? Is that Florida, California?
Colorado.
You said Colorado. I thought you said Cairo Springs, Colorado.
I'm so glad I didn't ask that.
I didn't hear you. That would have been a terrible question. Colorado Springs. Where, in Jersey? I really am an ass.
Now, you guys do a lot of outdoor stuff, the hiking and everything else that's beautiful out there.
Yeah. During quarantine, we were biking like 20 to 25 miles a day before
that. Biking?
But yeah, we were doing mountain biking.
We have a boat and jet ski, so we go to the lake a lot too and hiking.
We do ice climbing, rock climbing, whitewater rafting, snowboarding.
I feel like such a fat guy. Can I just tell you, how many miles did you do with the biking?
Anywhere from like, some days were, if we dropped lower, we went like 17, but we were doing like 20 to 25 miles a day.
But like trail biking, some hard stuff up and down, not on flat.
And that's like just to do like leisurely. That's not for a fight. That's just chilling.
No, yeah, we were just having fun.
That's what I'm talking about, Jimmy. Now I feel like a fat guy. I got a bike. I got a mountain bike during this whole quarantine thing. Good thing I did that just when this thing hit, because nobody can get a bike anywhere.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I haven't been rolling as much because everything that's going on. So I take pride that I've been biking with my family all around town. But then I'm like, ask my wife, because she has the little Fitbit thing. Like, what do we do? She's like, ah, like 5.5 miles. I'm like, ah, good. That's horrible.
No, but you got kids with you.
You're laughing at me, girls. That's not good. I got kids with me.
You got kids. There's two active fighters. You have kids with you. If you didn't have kids, you'd be doing 30 shitty. Miles.
Maybe yeah. I just feel bad because I
maybe you wouldn't.
I that too.
Yeah. He wouldn't be doing 30 miles. Maybe you'd be doing 6.
I got short legs. That's not an excuse, though, because Tisha doesn't have long legs.
Didn't you go swimming with sharks?
Oh, did I go swim with sharks? On Dana White looking for a fight? Yeah. Yes, I did. We also jumped off a cliff. Well, 2 out of 3 of us jumped off
a cliff. I was like, he did not jump off a cliff because I was making fun of him on that one.
Oh, Dana?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. He might still be up there. he was up there for, I'll tell you, girls, he was up there for literally over 3 hours. The sun went down. It was just like, sometimes you think like on the reality shows, they can mess with it to make it more dramatic. No, he was up there for so long. Yeah, let's change the subject before I get fired. No, I'm only kidding. But you guys, that's so awesome. You watch the thing with the sharks. I'm not a water person either. Are you girls water people or no?
Yeah, we are, but we don't
do sharks. I hate sharks. they freak me out, but I've actually swam with sharks too while I was in Hawaii.
Oh, you did?
Were you in a cage or outside?
I had fears, so I was just like, let's do it. And then I think I was still half drunk, so I know it was all right.
Did you touch them or were you in a cage?
Oh, hell no, I didn't touch them.
You had a cage or no?
Yes, I was very much so in a cage. I wouldn't get out of it. I was kind of like monkeying on top of it, but then I had like somehow my head in between my legs looking down. Like I was very flexible in this moment when the sharks were there.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend. I mean, the cage, the first thing we asked for is a cage. And he goes, that cage would not hurt you more than the sharks. I go, oh, I'll take the chance with the cage.
Oh,
I couldn't believe we didn't have a cage. And then they were throwing the chum in the water, smacking. It was everything you're not supposed to do.
What kind of sharks were they?
Who, me?
Do you know what kind of sharks they were?
Hammerhead? I don't know. I'm thinking of sharks. No? Throw these curveballs at me in front of the girls?
Sand sharks.
They weren't little sand sharks. I mean, I remember looking down in there, and it's like I got its attention. The thing just looked up at me with that fucking long down. I'm like, I was so freaked out. But shit, man, I got 3 kids. I can't turn this job down. It's a fun job. And I'm glad you guys are watching. So listen, what's the celebration like? What do you got? I mean, are you guys just like, whew? It's not like you go out and really hit a restaurant.
It was definitely a crash camp. So we did 4 weeks of a camp. And so we just went 0 to 100. So to actually not diet and kind of eat what we want and be able to sleep has been really nice. We're still out here in Vegas hanging out with friends until tomorrow. But I don't know. I honestly want to jump in the car and road trip down to Florida and go spend time with my family and do a bunch of fishing.
Wow. You want a road trip? You don't know. Are you uncomfortable flying or do you just like a long, slow drive?
I love road trips. I grew up road tripping. So I would rather just kind of road trip and do what I want and then just have some fun along the way. And then I don't really know when I want to come back home. So it's like, let's just road trip and hang out. And then one day when I decide I want to come back home, we'll drive back home.
Now, will you plan it? Like for me, I have to know, I'm an accommodations diva. I have to always know where I'm staying. Will you just drive or are you like to know exactly what place? Do they have good pillows?
Listen, I just want to drive and end up where I end up. This one, the other day, we were going to practice. We were commuting to Denver, which is like an hour away from us. And she's like trying to plan out every step of my trip. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like plan out your own trip. I am going on vacation with no plans and I'm going to do whatever I want. If I want to sleep till like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's happening.
It's like Clark Griswold in Wally World. That might be before your time, girls. Did you ever see Vacation?
Yes. I've seen Vacation.
Yes. Oh, thank God. Jimmy. I'm 46, man. I'm getting dizzy with some of my movies.
They're on the things that we saw in theaters are now on Turner like classic movie. It's humiliating.
Hey, a lot. And you guys want to get back in there soon? I mean, I've been watching, especially now during the quarantine, people are fighting like Courtney Casey fought last month, jumped back in now. Who else was it? The kid was on in Charles Rosa. He lost to jump back in. Who's that?
Jessica Eye, she just fought, and then she's getting ready to fight, like, now.
Oh, yeah, I think she just did a submission grappling thing. She did a grappling event.
Grappling, like, is it?
Yeah. But it's okay. Hey, listen, it's still competing. After my fight, it's like 30 pounds. But
we talked to her, Matt. I think she said that she wasn't sure about one, so she signed up for the other just so she had something. Yeah. And now she wound up doing both.
Are we taking a break, girls? What are we doing?
You deserve it. So we want to go to Florida for like 2 weeks, but that's in the beginning, mid-July. So I wouldn't mind fighting again in like 2-3 months, maybe.
I'm always down to fight. Every time they've offered me one, like, unless I have a serious health issue going on, I'm in. So I definitely, like I said, I mean, for me, it's nicer the crash camps anyways, just because it's less time for me to get exhausted and it's less time for me to, like, when I'm exhausted, then I'm all in my head and doing all the things. So, I mean, I've taken fights. I fought Jessica Andrade, our rematch. They called me and I was actually on a 6-month vacation. Like, I was seriously out of the gym, enjoying life. Like, I didn't want to be in the gym at all. And then they called me on a 3 weeks notice. And I was like, well, if I can make this weight, I'm in. And that was kind of this situation too. It was like, from the last fight that I had in January, I was just kind of hanging out and I was focusing on my schooling. And then they called during quarantine. And let me tell you, I was enjoying life in quarantine. So I was like, well, if I can make the weight, then I'm in. So I'm down for whatever.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let me ask you this, because you're a good person to ask. You too, Tisha. There's been some current controversy over the fight we were just talking about. What was it, Max?
Max Rushkoff?
And Hubbard. He was asking his coach, telling his coach to call it. And his coach, you know, didn't. And then the official had to stop it. You know, listen, I don't want to bring up anything, you know, in the past, because right now you're shining. But you know, in your fight with the champ, you know, you felt you were done in the fourth, and then you ended up going to the fifth, and your corner got some stuff. What do you think of that? Is it a case-per-case scenario, or do you think Drysdale should be getting some shit?
You know, it kind of depends. I think if the athlete – so here's from my perspective and being in there. Like, in reality, we're the ones that have control. If I 100% wanted out of there, I could have turned to the ref and said I was done. He could have done the same thing. In my situation, I was experiencing, so I came back from a really long layoff and then they wanted me going to the title shot right away. That was kind of a hard transition. Of course, that's what I wanted, but like I was just off for 18 months. And then when they originally scheduled us and I broke my leg, it was just kind of the cherry on top to everything that I was already going through. I got really depressed during that time. There was a lot of things that were just occurring behind the scenes from preparing for a fight and going out there and fighting for a world title. So when I broke my leg, I was the one that kind of rushed myself back. I mean, UFC offered me the fight a lot sooner than May, but I was like, no, let's push it out a little bit more, just kind of make myself feel better. But that was like one of the hardest camps to try to get through physically. And then going into the fight and Amanda caught my leg that first kick when I fell, I actually felt like I re-broke my leg. So even though the adrenaline helped me jump up, I was in defense mode the entire fight. I've broken bones in a fight. I've done everything, but I have never experienced something like that. So that's where mine came from. Mine didn't come from like wanting to like give up and be out of there. But with my coaches, they knew, like they know me as an athlete person. And I don't just let anybody corner me. Like, I build trust with these guys. These guys are my extended family. So my coaches, even though they caught a bunch of shit, like, we talked about it afterwards.
Right.
And you know, my coaches are very passionate about what they do and they have our best interests at heart. So my head coach, Jason, he actually sat there and he cried and he was like, was I wrong? And I was like, no, you didn't let me give up on myself, because I would actually have been more frustrated with myself, because in that moment I was letting the pain in my leg get the best of me, because that's all I could focus on. And yeah, in between rounds, it literally took everything I had to stand back up. Like, I didn't feel the punches, I didn't feel everything that was going on in that fight with me and Amanda. And in quarantine, I actually rewatched that fight for the very first time. And I should have done that a long time ago. But so I think overall, it just depends on like the situation. And I mean, the fighter could have clearly said that he wanted out, but I mean, if he was stating it more than once, then maybe that's something to kind of consider.
It's a different, and it's a different situation, like you said. I mean, he stated it like 8 or 9 times,
and then
he actually had to tell the doctor. So and he took it on short notice.
Ten days.
Not like so it's like, you know, why are you putting that kid back out there? I think that was a definitely a different scenario all around, you know, especially.
You don't want to be that person to get in the way of an athlete, but then at the same time, you want your athlete to be safe. Like, I mean, I've been in the corner and coached other athletes. And then of course I've been there and watched Tisha, and I know the emotions that come behind it and stuff. So to be the one to make that call, or, you know, even me just coaching high school gymnastics, to like kind of look out for the best interest of the athletes, but then at the same time, like, you don't want to get in their way. It's a fine balance. And people don't understand that. Like, they right away just judge off of something. I mean, I think there's a big difference if your athlete's out there just like completely like demolished, like a complete punching bag, and just like it's a total wreck.
Right.
Then it would be. But if, I don't know, if your athlete's still out there putting a fight up and doing the things, like, I don't know.
It's rough.
So you understand each other's, like, after a loss, you understand each other's energy, how to handle, because you never know what to say to a fighter after they've lost. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, you want to say something nice, but you don't know what to say. I guess that's an advantage to being with someone who's a fighter, is that you understand each other's, exactly what it is that just happened.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we understand each other. Tisha, sometimes I'm more of the mellow one, so I can like, I process a lot different than she does, and she'll kind of dwell a little bit in it more and get a lot more emotional. So sometimes we have a hard balance. Like, I understand what she's feeling, but like, I don't know like exactly what words to say to her, because she needs so much more than what I do in those moments sometimes.
Yeah. You both handle it differently. That's the disadvantage. And is a disadvantage of being with someone who fights that you're always kind of around it. Like, there might be times you want to get away from the idea of fighting, but it's always there.
Yeah, it doesn't disappear. Like, and for the longest time, I mean, this one was fun because it was just like, we had something to look forward to as far as both of us being on it. And then we went into it at the same time. But since we've been together and dating, I mean, it was either Tisha was fighting, and then as soon as she was done, I was in fight camp. And as soon as I was done, Tisha was back in fight camp. And like, that's how it just consistently went. So yeah, we definitely, there was a part in my life to where it was like, you know, I had my fight career, but I had my life outside. Yeah. And then ever since we've been together, it's just been like fighting.
Right.
So times that I'm like, oh my gosh, can we just not, like, we'll go to a family dinner and our family is just so proud of us and they want to talk about it. I'm like, stop talking about fighting. Like, let's talk about
anything else.
Anything else
but fighting. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You know what else I can relate to when you said, I don't know how you feel about this, but you said that you recently watched your fight versus Amanda Nunes, and you were like, you know, it might've been the first time you watched it since. Oh, isn't it funny how after like your fight that you just fought and a victory, I'll watch that till I burn the tape. But a fight you lost, you kind of just relive such a shitty moment. So I have such a hard time watching. All my losses you have to watch, or somebody has to watch to make the corrections. But oh man, it's like reliving it. And then when you, and it's totally opposite when you're watching a victory and you're just like, you know, on a shitty day, I'll throw in my Frank Trigg fight or something. Like, it makes you happy when you know what I mean? I don't know.
For sure. It's
good. It's funny you say that, because normally if I lose or she loses, we don't watch it like at all. And then we just won this weekend and we watched our fight yesterday.
Yeah, we just sat there and watched
how many times?
I get to the point that I do watch them. Like, I'll watch them on my free time because I definitely want to grow. I always want to grow, and I've always been that athlete. I always watched my film back in the day when it came to playing basketball or softball. Like, I've always been about film. There was a point in my career where, like, that shifted. But, like, the Amanda fight is very unique for me just because, like I said, I feel like everything leading up to that and then that fight was just, like, the cherry on top to, like, my mental state. Like, my mental and emotional state from just, like, breaking from everything I was going through. And then it was just, like, I had a hard time with that because then right after that fight hit and everything was happening, then I was re-dealing with my leg and the nerve damage. And, you know, I mean, I barely avoided drop foot. I barely avoided amputation. Like, there was so
much.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how serious it was, but, like, there was so much that I barely avoided. And then to go into the fight and feel that all over again and then really have to take time and, like, hey, if you want to keep your leg and you want to be healthy, then, like, you have to step back. So, like, I compartmentalized a lot of emotions towards that. And I definitely didn't watch that fight. But then you know how your mind likes to screw with you and it builds its own. So I built this complete image of what that fight looked like. And then when during quarantine, when ESPN was just airing a bunch of fights and mine came on, me and Tisha sat there and started to watch it. And, like, I should have watched that fight the day after it happened because it was just, like, all the emotions I was carrying around. I actually sat on my couch and just cried, like, for what I felt in that fight and the pain that I knew I was in with my leg. I couldn't be more proud of myself in that fight, especially with Amanda. I mean, you have her out there knocking out all these girls, the champions, the best of the best. And I was, like, in my worst state possible, still standing in front of her. And in the moments I decided to come forward, like, some really good things were happening, but obviously, like, she won the fight and whatnot, but I needed, you know what I mean? Like, I needed to reset. So I always told myself from now on, as bad as it is, you got to swallow the pill and watch that shit.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah,
that's the sign of a mature fighter. Me, I watched my loss to St. Pierre get kneed into all fours. I'm like, ah, get up, you bitch. Get up. That's what I say. You little, everybody's watching. But anyway, that's what I do when I lose.
And before we let you go, I wanted to, because you mentioned a possible amputation. Did they tell you that in the moment? Like, look, we might have to do this. Or was that after that they said, look, you were close?
So I came in and, like, if you guys would have actually seen my leg looked pretty rough. And so I'm actually going to school for medical stuff and whatnot. So I'm super knowledgeable on a lot of it. And I was just like, I was pretty nervous going in there. And my first question was, doc, am I going to be able to keep my leg? And he's like, well, let's check it out. And he said, he was like, we got to run some tests and do all the things. We got to check your nerves. And then, like, cause I had no control over things for a minute, and then my calf was completely rolled up. So we weren't sure if my calf, like, just absolutely tore, and you can't fix that.
How did it happen again? You told me, how did it happen?
So I've been hunting my whole life since I was 7, and we were out there on our normal family hunting trip, and we were coming around the corner. We were in side by sides. We went to go turn the corner. It was just too sharp. It was snowing and stuff. And the side-by-side flipped. And I actually, like, I almost cleared it, but I had my rifle in between my legs. And so it caught this leg. Basically, I just, like, covered, and the roll cage crushed my leg.
Ooh,
and
because
I was wearing high boots, the doc said that really helped out. The boots, like, saved my leg. Because otherwise, my ankle and everything would have been completely shattered. So I really lucked out in that. But, it's been from the girl that fought Misha in between all that time to, like, up to now, this has just been me trying to get back to being, like, normal as myself, as a human being, and then also trying to fight and live a passion. It's been a rough years.
And how is the leg? And how is it now? How does the leg feel?
Listen, after what fight was it? After the Jermaine fight, I think it was. Because I can't remember that fight to save my life. I developed a thyroid issue. Like, I fell apart, right? So, like, my health just fell apart. And I was like, all right, I need to figure out, like, my thyroid and I need to figure out my leg. So I actually took the time in between there before I fought Aldana in July. I took that whole time off and just really focused on physical therapy 3 times a week. And now my leg is like, it's really good. You would never guess that I ever injured it. Like, I took the time, I did everything I needed to and more. And
amazing.
It's cool. It feels good. But every now and then, like when I get dehydrated, because my calf is still really like awkward, it looks like I have an S on the back of my leg.
Like, it looks like you have what?
My calf muscle just like falls in. So I have like these two little butt cheeks.
Oh, like an ass.
Yes, like an ass.
That's what I see every time I brush my teeth in the morning. So I know how you feel.
Hey, girls, before I let you go, you said you were teaching gymnastics. Were you always, both of you, you could start first, Raquel. Were you both always into the sports and gymnastics and stuff? What'd you start with?
Yeah, so I grew up, my mom always wanted me to be her little princess. My mom did gymnastics, and then she's been a high school gymnastics coach for 36 years now. So I grew up around it, did it for a little bit, and then I was really big into basketball, volleyball, and softball. And then I did like cross country. I played football. Like, I've done all the games.
Huge jock.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've always been around sports ever since I was young. And then I started coaching with my mom four or five years ago. I actually decided to like start coaching. I coached high school softball for a little bit, and then I got into the gymnastics coaching.
Oh, that's nice. Tisha?
I did karate my entire life. I started when I was 5, and then I stopped when I started kickboxing. And then before MMA, I was a kickboxer for like 3 or 4 years. I had like 20 fights before coming into MMA. So that really helped me. And then I played high school soccer all 4 years. But I always wanted to be a gymnast. Everybody thought I was a gymnast. They'd ask my mom, is your daughter a gymnast? She's so – because I hated my muscles growing up. But I've been big-ass calves, big arms since I was – 5. So, and my bow-leggedness, like you.
Why did you hate that you had muscles?
Awesome. I got made fun of a lot growing up because of it. Nowadays they're promoting, you know, strength and different types of body styles. But back in the day, having muscles was different, you know? So, they would draw little, muscular, like a muscular figure and with hair on the chalkboards and stuff, and it was me. And I went home crying a lot because of that. So it made me really hate my body.
You got teased for exactly the opposite reason I did. I got teased for having zero muscle, no shape.
But kids can be little shits, huh?
Yeah.
Did you ever feel that helped fuel you? Not that it's a good thing, like you don't like bullying. But, man, I got messed with as a kid, too. And I helped that fueled my fire to kick people's asses.
I have people who reach out to me and are like, I don't know, say stupid stuff, but in a good way. Like, those muscles really paid off. Like, all your hard work paid off. And I can't believe you're still doing, you know, what you loved back then. Because I never imagined it being at this level in the UFC. Plus, you know, women weren't allowed in UFC back in 2011. You know, they started, I think, in 2012-ish or something. But yeah, like, it was just a passion of mine. And fortunately enough, I became good enough to have this as a career. And I'm super grateful what we're doing and not being having to go to like a 9-to-5. Like,
yes.
If you want to take off a day, we take off a day. If you want to go on our boat on a Wednesday morning, we can do that. So we're definitely blessed. And a lot of people have helped us be where we are today. It's not just, you know, us. There's a lot of people behind
now
us.
Now she likes her muscles.
Now I like my muscles. I still sometimes have a complex with them. Like, if I'm wearing a dress, I'll try to, like, you know, go like this in my dress. It's ridiculous. I'm like, will you knock it off? Show me your dress off.
100%.
Wherever I go, I always get compliments from other women telling me how much they, you know, admire my body and want the same body.
I tell her all the time. I'm like, you get on my nerves. I, like, everybody thinks I should be in the 125 division. I'm like, you guys have no clue. Like, making 135 is super hard for me. Don't be fooled by my Mexi roll. This is my reserved energy. But I really get annoyed with Tisha. Like, she can lay in bed at midnight and she can eat donuts, and somehow in the morning she wakes up with a deeper six pack. And I'm like, you're so annoyed.
Yeah, that's enraging.
Yeah, show off the arms. The girls, what I notice when the girls don't like when they could go like this and it like wiggles, You don't have this. You have the opposite of that. You got to show that off.
No, I don't got that.
All right, Jimmy, let's let them go.
Yeah, we both look, congratulations, so both of you. Great wins, and I'm happy you both won your fights. You both look really good.
Congrats, girls.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
It was
good.
All right, Raquel. All right, Tisha, take care.
Take care, girls.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jimmy, let's do it. Let's talk about our picks. Because, you know, there's times when I can't pick them. And there's times I'm almost spot on, Jimmy. You understand? Let's go through it. And I still want to talk more about some of the prelims either later or whatever. So, but let's talk about our picks.
We have to talk about our picks. We can just talk about a couple of them.
We'll lead up to the Curtis Blaydes fight. We'll start off, I should say, with the Jim Miller versus Roosevelt Roberts.
Roberts, yep.
Yes. So, I mean, my pick was a second round stoppage. I mean, hey, listen.
That's right.
I didn't get it right. Oh, no, I got it right. But it was the first round he stopped him in. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got partially right.
And you said,
You had first round. I had second round. So we'll call that one.
Hold on.
Oh, what?
You had the second round for Roosevelt. Roberts.
That was my mistake.
So it wasn't a wash at all. It's the exact opposite. It's one for
Matt.
Or the Kimura Savage. Jimmy, did you ever see that art that that kid did of us? It's on my Instagram page. It's like a comic book. I tagged you in it.
No. I didn't see it.
J Ski Sketchings. He did one of the adventures of Kimura Savage and Jimmy Bird.
Oh. Bala Muhammad, Lyman Good.
You got that one wrong.
I did. I did indeed get that one wrong. I thought Lyman Good was going to pull it out, especially, I think the third was his big round, where he was, Bilal had slowed down a little bit and Lyman was really catching him, but, he had him really hurt a couple of times, but, Bala Muhammad is very tough.
Well, I think that you always thought that Lyman was better than Good. Sorry, Jimmy.
I didn't hear what you said. Your mic cut out.
Well, anyway, Lyman Good versus my buddy there, Bilal Muhammad. And you know what? It started off, and Lyman is a bit of a bull. You know what I mean? He's powerful.
Very powerful.
He's coming in with trying to conquer the cage. But a lot has to be said for Bilal's footwork.
Yeah.
You know?
Amazing. Left, right. Very hard to catch up with.
Oh, man. It was great. And it's funny. Bilal commented on UFC Unfiltered on Instagram. They put our picks out there. So they did my pick, which was Bilal Muhammad by decision, which is exactly. Yeah. Jimmy, look at me.
Almost got it right. There was a decision.
Well, Jimmy, stop it.
You just picked one guy.
Jimmy, you got the other. Know what I just noticed? I'm not a good winner.
I'm a bad winner.
I'm being a little bit of a braggart. But anyway, Bilal commented, good pick, Matt Serra. You know, you see, they're watching. He follows us on Instagram.
Well, look,
so listen.
Lyman Good, in fairness to me, the Tiger Show, I have to pick school that has trained me to be the killer I am.
You're right. You're right, Jimmy. You're right. You got to stay with your team, no matter what.
Your team, yeah.
All right.
Bilal Muhammad looked great.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
Great, man. He is really hard to hit. Yeah, tremendous. Very tough. In that third round, when he started tagging him, he's very, very tough to survive that third.
On his social media, Bilal Muhammad, he put on. This is what I like. I like when people fighters do this. He did something like Future Boss. There was a picture of him and like Dana from 2012 or something. Yeah. And then there's a picture of a young Bilal Muhammad with Dana White. And it said in the social media caption, my future boss. And then there was a picture from the other night with Dana Woodham congratulating him. That's nice, no?
It's nice. Yeah.
Jimmy, you got to follow your dreams, Jimmy. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, you do.
All right. And you can make them come true like Bilal Muhammad is.
Sure. Or like Hall & Oates would say.
What, she's a man-eater?
Now you make my dreams come true.
Oh, I'm sorry. I used to like Hall & Oates. I had a room, a picture, I had a poster of them when I was a little kid.
That's horrible to say. That's a horror. That's the worst thing you've said to them.
And Oates had the fucking, one of them had the mustache. Yeah. The other one had the mullet, like the long, like long hair.
Yeah.
They had some doozies back in the day, Jimmy.
Yeah, I hate to see you look it up at Hall & Oates for your inspiration. You're going to make my dreams come true someday.
Oh, private eyes are watching you. They know
the 80s clap.
Every move. Yeah.
The claps.
And then the girls and the FBI fucking.
Yeah, that's awful.
Anyway, it was awful, Jimmy. The fucking 80s.
Yeah.
Raquel Pennington. Versus Marion Renew.
We both had her.
Well, listen, by decision. I like the way you jump on. No, actually, I picked by decision, Jimmy. And you picked Pennington by third round sub. God damn, I'm on fire.
Yeah.
That boy is on fire.
Yeah.
Come on. Listen to me. Jimmy, I'm singing a little extra today. I'm pent up. Yeah. I got to go for a bike ride or do some jiu-jitsu soon. But listen to me. I am on fire, ain't I?
Yeah.
Either that or the edibles are kicking in. I'm only kidding. Jimmy, I'm on espresso. I picked it. I got it. Raquel Pennington by decision. All right. Now let's go with the one I got wrong, which was very close, though. And we're going to be talking to Josh Emmett any second now. But Josh Emmett. Versus Shane Burgos.
We both got that one wrong.
What a great fight. What a great fight, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Josh how it felt like when he was really catching Shane. But Shane has a way, and it reminds me a little bit of Jake LaMotta when he would say, you know, how do you take those punches? He goes, Jake LaMotta said that I would roll with them, so I'm taking off 20, 30% or whatever it is. And that's really what Shane Burgos does, kind of like he does it in a way all its own, is of his own. Like, I've never seen anybody quite stay so in the pocket.
Yep.
And get blasted. It looks like he's getting straight blasted. Part of it is his chin, but he is rolling with it slightly to take it off, to take off that blunt impact.
Here's what was impressive about Emmett, too, was with a 5-inch reach advantage that Burgos had. His hook was still, Emmett's hook was still so effective. He was so good at closing that distance. Burgos, his reach, I think, helped him at one point, but I was really impressed with how well Emmett closed that distance. It didn't seem to bother him. It didn't bother him enough to make a difference.
I mean, that was a razor thin. It was close.
But
that third round is what really, cemented it, I'd say, for Josh. I mean, it could have been... It was close because the first two rounds, I think Emmett was landing some really good punches. But again, Burgos was coming back. And and I'll tell you, he's one of those fighters that just gets better as the fight goes on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it kind of made it trusting his chin and kind of rolling and staying in that pocket, just a tad little. If you're a little bit too slow on that, you take a little bit off, like later in the rounds. And that's what happens. You could pay for it. And that's pretty much what happened to him. Because he was fighting the same way throughout the whole fight.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you got everyone wrong except for the main event.
Curtis played you. Oh, no, I got Raquel right. I mean, I got Raquel
right. Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course.
I got everyone right except for the Shane Burgos fight. But, hey, I'll tell you, for one to get wrong, that was a close fight.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Jimmy. Curtis Blades. Versus Alexander Volkov. Can I tell you what I really feel Curtis Blades needs to do? Okay. And I really, this is what I think. He's an awesome wrestler. He is, his striking is really, it's good. And it's getting better and it's dangerous. He needs to get better at straight up jiu-jitsu on the floor. That's what he needs to do. Because he's getting it down and he likes to work a lot.
Yeah.
He works from the closed guard. Do you know why, Jimmy? Because he trusts in those. I'm sorry, I'm answering for you. Go ahead.
I don't know why.
Okay, I'll tell you. Because he trusts in those dangerous elbows that he throws, ground and pound. But now he's dealing with a guy 6'7". So when he's in that guard, I'll tell you, that's it. Alexander could relax a little bit. A lot of those elbows weren't getting through because of that long torso, you know? So he wasn't doing the damage he wants, and he's not being able to rest as much as he would, let's say, look at Jillian Roberts, her fight versus Courtney Casey. She wasn't just trying to beat her up from guard. She passed the half guard, then looked to work her over a little bit. And, you know, Courtney was doing a good job keeping her at bay, but then if she gets a little overzealous, a little bit of space, guess what? Jillian's passing. So now she's cross-eyed. Now, oh, she's losing it. She'll go back to half guard. She's dominating. It's not a lot of effort. She has very good ground control. And she's beating her with a jiu-jitsu-based control system there. Like, she's beating her jiu-jitsu-wise. She's not just ground and pounding her like Mark Coleman did in UFC number fucking 3 or 4 or 5, whatever it was, from inside the guard. That's only going to get you so far. And next thing you know, you're going to be getting caught in arm locks. You're going to be getting tired. And it depends on the person's guard. You might not be doing the damage you want. And now that might be great for 3 rounds. Now you're in 5 rounds. No, you know what happens and how you're going to feel in that 5th round. Do you know?
How?
Tired. Tired right. is not. But when they say fatigue makes cowards of all men, great. I don't know. That was either Vince Lombardi or Bruce Lee. But anyway, a lot of sports coaches, it's a very common motto there is, fatigue makes cowards of all men. If Curtis Blaydes sees an unarmed individual anywhere staring at him, do you think he's ever going to go to you, Jimmy? Do you think he's ever going to go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. No. He's saying that because his body wants to do nothing but lay down and get given water and fucking relax. It is, you would rather sometimes get that shot on the chin and let it be over than people do not know the fatigue and what it does to you physically and mentally. Curtis Blaydes is a scary guy.
Yes, he
is. Scary. He said, oh my God. And between heavy, heavy breaths, he was, and then after the fight, after he wins, and listen, gutsy performance.
Yeah.
I mean, he dominated the fight. Never once did we see when he had him on all fours looking to get the hooks in to flatten him out, looking then get, he didn't trust in it because he's not doing that in practice. He's on a wrestling ride and he's beating the guy up. And then he's getting on top, he's beating the guy up from inside of his guard. We have to get better at our straight up jiu-jitsu.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in LA, a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What's up, Josh Emmett?
Hey, buddy. Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. You had something with the doctors today. Are you all right?
I'm actually at the PI right now. So I just got treatment. I go get my MRI at 12. Yeah, I just saw Al's in there getting worked on right now.
Oh, Raging Al? He's over there? Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Now, Josh, let me ask you, first of all, congratulations. Amazing fight.
Tremendous, man. Yeah.
Thank you.
What happened with your leg, I believe, in that first round? Was that a pre-existing injury or something happened to your ACL or what happened?
Yeah, no, it was, no pre-existing. I felt great going into this fight. I think I just I thought he kicked me, but looking back at the fight, I hyperextended it. Like I stepped with my left leg and then I kind of, my weight went back, and just right then, I've never experienced anything like that. It just gave out. I didn't hear any type of popping noise. But then I moved around and it just kept buckling, and man, that was tough. You know, it was super tough for me right then. It hurt like hell, and I had no stability. So first thing in my mind, I was just like, I am not going home with one check. I was like, fuck this. It was my, you know, biggest fight of my career to date. And then that happens 15, 20 seconds into the fight. So yes. I just, you know, I think most people would have quit, or they would have looked for a way out. And I was just like, I'm going to bite down and just throw everything I have at him.
Shane Burgos is probably one of the worst guys for that to happen with, because he's talk about in your face type of guy. I mean, the guy doesn't take his foot off the gas pedal, and he was constantly in your face. And what I found very interesting was, we all seen how powerful you are with your power. And, you know, when I watched the fight, I seen Shane rolling with it, but yeah. Man, how did it feel? Was it at all disheartening seeing when you were connecting with him, that he wasn't really going anywhere? And well, until the third round.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, was it disheartening when he was taking those shots?
Not at all. I felt like I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to come forward, but I also thought, I said, I will land big shots. But I thought once I landed those big shots, he would not be coming forward as much, but he did. And the thing with the knee is I couldn't move. Like, I use a lot of movement in my fights. I couldn't move. I couldn't kick with my right leg because all my weight was on my left, and it would keep buckling. Every time he kicked me in the leg, it looked bad, like he was, you know, hitting that leg hard, but my leg was buckling and I couldn't go to the liver. I just couldn't put any weight on that side. And I didn't get to sit down on my punches and really throw 100%. I wasn't hitting him with like what I'm capable of, even though I was hitting him hard. So that's the thing. I feel like if I had my knee, I don't think he gets out of the second round.
Do you think him coming forward so aggressively too, because he had 5 inches, 5 inches of reach. Did him coming forward kind of help you, like almost like he was helping close the distance for you? You didn't have to chase him around the cage.
Of course, you know, if I had that kind of reach, I would just, man, I'd be in heaven. I would just stay on the outside and use my jab all day. You know, but he just kept coming forward, and I was able to land the jab. Like I bloodied him up and busted him up with just my jab. And I was surprised on someone that had 75 and a half inch reach, I was able to just bust him up with a jab, you know? And that's the thing. My boxing coach, Joey Rodriguez, always says that I have a shotgun for a jab. So he's like, but I couldn't commit to my punches, you know, just because of the knee issue I experience in the first like 15, 20 seconds.
You dropped him in the third too. And again, this could just be, I watched that moment back a few times. Was there a second where you thought before you ran in, or did you run in direct? Was there no thought? For some reason, I remember watching it and going like, why is he waiting? Does he think that Shane is out, or am I just seeing that incorrectly?
Yeah, no, I think it all comes down to the knee. You know, I was like, I couldn't explode or go in as fast. You know, I would have got on him even in the third when I had him down. I was just kind of in a what sense, I was kind of stalling, you know, just holding him there. And then when he turned away, I could have took his back, but I couldn't push off my leg. So I let him go. And then when he stood up, I would have normally kicked him in his head with my right leg, but I couldn't put that pressure on my left. So I, for one, didn't take his back when he gave it to me. And then I didn't, you know, capitalize when I would have blasted him. I couldn't.
So that bulldog style of, sorry, Matt, of just coming in really in a way helped you because your mobility was cut down and he kind of didn't make you that couldn't have worked out better, I guess, because you were right there and you just had to kind of just stand there and throw as opposed to chasing him halfway around.
Oh, and I knew that was going to be the issue or the case, that I knew I would not have to chase Shane around. Yeah. If he would have just worked that jab and stayed long, and I couldn't move, he probably would have just picked me apart because with his jab, but he didn't. That's not the way he fights.
Right.
So I appreciate that.
Well, I'll tell you, to his credit, though, he usually he could break guys. And to your credit, he couldn't break you. Because that is his style. Right. It's not like he always stays on the outside. He's, right. he's in your face.
Yeah, and no, that I knew he was going to come forward. So it was going to be easy for me to hit him. And he drops his hands a lot. And I was like, well, if he does that with me, it's not going to be good. You know, I can end or change the fight.
And what do you see yourself? Sorry, man. What do you see yourself? Because you're on a nice run. I mean, five out of the last six, and I mean, you know, the loss of Jeremy Stephens could happen to anybody. So, what do you see yourself doing next? Because you're one of my favorite guys to watch.
Man, I want to fight up. You know, I want to fight. My goal is to be a world champion. I know I can compete with the best. I need the opportunity. I need the chance. I need the push. So yeah, I want to fight forward. I feel like I'm one fight away for fighting for the title, or who knows with how crazy everything is, with people not having being able to get visas, with people being injured, not wanting to fight. Now I see people, even after Burgos in my fight, people are like, I wouldn't be mad if Josh got the winner of Volkanovski Holloway. I wouldn't be mad either. Or
yeah, of course.
Give me the number one contender. Who's that? Ortega. Let me fight him. I beat him. Give me the winner of that.
Does Brian have a fight lined up? I'm not sure. For some reason, I think Brian has something.
So they keep talking about possibly doing the Zabit and Korean Zombie,
yeah.
Fight. But who knows? You know, like I would like to. We'll just see kind of what happens.
What's the word on your knee now? Did you get it diagnosed?
I'm going to go do the MRI right after this. So
oh, shit.
Talk, I do the MRI. So I'm at the PI. I just got treatment. But we'll see.
What do they do for it? Like when something like that happens and they're not 100% sure what it is, what do they do?
I think right now they're just, you know, it's swollen. I couldn't move. Heather, she's great here at the PI. She's just working on the range of motion. She's doing soft tissue work. And I'm using the game ready, like just icing and elevating and movement. But I don't know, I was pretty down after the fight just because of the knee, you know, I was out for a year and then that happened and I didn't get to perform the way I wanted to. So I was just pissed, man. I was pissed about the knee.
I was going to say, man, cause look how nice, I mean, Jimmy, Josh has always been such a nice guy.
Yeah. Very after pleasant fight, fellow.
After the fight, it was hysterical. I mean, I'm like, he looks pissed. You're like, because you got the win, and it was a tough-ass fight, a great fight, tough and entertaining. And you were on the mic, and you were like, you know what? All these the critics and the journalists, I'm not even doing interviews anymore. You're all counting me out. You were like, I'm like, holy shit, man. I never saw you like that. Now, no, did you – what just, was it that pissed you off? Like, was it
– Well, it's just like I'll see a bunch of stuff and just a handful of people. You know, they're like, yeah. I'll do interviews with them, and then I see them come out with this other show, and they're like, well – I'm going to go with Burgos. He's going to be too much for him. You know, he's younger, he's taller, he's this and that. I'm like, and people are just talking about the hype and all this stuff. And I'm like, where is this hype? Like, look at the resume. Look at who he's fought. Look at who I fought. You know, it's like, yeah, he's a talented guy, but it's like everyone's always counting me out. Everyone's always saying all I have. I'm a powerful guy with just an overhand right. That's all I have. Like, I can do so much more. I come from a wrestling background. My jits is great. I can do a lot, you know. It just frustrates me, and then just the knee was icing on top, and I was I don't know, I was just
listen, man, that's not a bad thing. When I was fighting, I'd run into guys that picked against me, and I remember taking it so personal because I'm like, because basically, it's not like you're picking a team to lose and then they'll be upset they lost. You're basically saying I'm gonna get my ass kicked. So I mean, I'd be like, yo, dude, I was younger, and I remember just getting nasty. But that's not a bad thing. You could use that. You're pissed. Yeah. You want to kick the guy's ass. Like, I don't know. And now I'm on the other side where I actually have to make the picks. And you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But
it's really tough to pick, too.
You're all bad motherfuckers, man.
All good fighters, yeah.
Best fighters on the planet. You know what I mean? So it's like.
No, I totally understand. And it's not – people are going to do their jobs. But just certain ones, I think, just kind of got under my skin that, you know, I was always – still cool with them, but I don't know. It's just something else. It just bothered me.
It's the way they say it sometimes.
Yeah, if they're dicks about it, or if they dismiss you, you know, if being dismissed, I'm sure is irritating.
Yeah, exactly. So it was cool. It for all in all, it was a great experience. Even to be able to make some money during this time, I was excited to finally Dana White. That's the first time he ever got to see me fight live. He's never got to see me fight live, and it's different in person than watching on TV, and especially at the Apex with it being quiet and the sound of it. But he was standing up, clapping everything. So I was like, man, I was excited about that because I was like, I know I can turn Dana into a fan if he sees me fight live.
Oh, shit,
I did that.
How did you like fighting with no audience? Sorry, Matt. How did you like fighting with no audience? The guys have had different feelings about it.
Yeah, I didn't care. You know, I could care less. You know, I thought it was going to be really odd, but because I've seen it on the outside when I got to help coach on the Ultimate Fighter once, and I did not like that. But being a competitor and being in a fight, like, it's a fight, you know, like say something goes on out there. It's like, there's no crowd, you know, it's like if someone does something funky, it's like, a fight's a fight, you know?
That's so I
could care less, you know, you're in the zone, you know, I train in that atmosphere. Like I'm really coachable. I hear all my coaches, even in the fights when there's tons of crowds, I always hear my opponents' corners. And when they're calling combinations, I'll throw the same combination just to kind of mess with them. So it's like, I enjoyed it. You know, well, I would do it again.
Things are looking good for Team Alpha Male. You just had Andre Feely coming off a nice win, you know, and Cody. What am I saying? Of course.
Incredible.
And now you guys, hey, something's going right over there. You guys are doing something right.
Yeah. It's always people either love us or hate us, and people are going to win and lose fights. And you know, it's just, you know how it is.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I felt good for Cody though. He really seemed like he needed a win, and that was such a beautiful way to get one too. I was really happy for him.
Yeah, it's got to be hard because he was, you know, people just having all those losses, and yeah, it was tough for him. So I'm glad, I'm happy for him and him be back on top. And you know, yeah, he needed that, and he looked great.
He looked really great. Yeah. Well, look, man, we hope. So you're going in for an MRI today.
Yep, yeah, like right 45 now. Minutes. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and because I just want to get back in there. You know, I want to compete. I want to make a run at this title. You know, that's why I'm doing this. I want to be a world champion. I will be a world champion, but I need to move forward. So
it seems like guys who want to stay busy during this quarantine, they're getting the opportunity to. You know what I mean? Like they're fighting like 1 month to the next. Charles Rosa, Courtney Casey. They were just fought last month. They're fighting this month. So if you're healthy, I think it's a smart thing to do.
I feel great right now. Like I don't even just besides I can't, you know, the stability of my knee, but it is getting better even from like from last night to today. Today it feels so much better. So we'll see. I could get back in there and fight, you know, next week if my damn knee was hurt.
I'll tell you, man, it's very impressive because that thing happened like like 15 seconds in or something? 20 seconds in?
15, 20 seconds into the fight.
Dude, that's ridiculous, especially with a guy like Shane who's an in-your-face style like that. You know, it's hardly time to breathe. But, hey, man, congratulations, man.
Yeah, you look great, man. Fight of the night.
Thank you. I appreciate it, you guys.
And good luck with the MRI, too. I hope I hope there's nothing wrong and we can watch you again soon. Because Matt's right. Guys who want to stay active now, it seems like they're presenting fights for people.
That's one thing. They were already – Sean was like, before I even fought, he was saying, I want Josh to fight at the end of August. So I was like, hey, I got to win one fight first. But I want to fight as consistent as possible. I was like, I wanted to get three in this year, you know, and that was doable. So, we'll just see what happens with the MRI.
All right. Well, awesome. we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. It's good talking to you, Josh. We're glad you were able to come on.
Cool. Thank you. I will talk to you guys soon, hopefully.
Yes. And congratulations, man.
Incredible. Congrats again. Congrats, buddy.
Take care.
Be good.
Take care, Josh. Hey, man, I'm happy that we got to talk to Josh.
Yes. That's going to suck, dude. Yeah. That's going to suck waiting for, because you feel so good after such an amazing win over a really tough guy. And then to have to wait and go, fuck, am I going to have to wait 6 months or a year to fight again? And that's a rough thing to have.
And I know what he's talking about. Sometimes it's the way guys put things when they're picking against you. Like, oh, well, this one has no, you know, he's this or he's that. And they kind of say condescending. He didn't mean us, Jimmy.
No, but I would be comfortable telling him why we picked Shane. It felt like a pretty evenly matched fight. Shane does have some reach. He's very tough. And also, Tiger Schulman. I can't pick against Tiger Schulman.
He's fighting somebody from Cerro Longo.
Then it's a tougher. That's a tougher decision. I mean, Uriah Hall, Yoel Romero, they're talking about. Even though Uriah's not there anymore, I'm still going to root for Uriah. And again, I love Uriah, so I wouldn't care.
Uriah is, we say this about a few people, but Uriah literally is one of the true friends of the UFC Unfiltered.
Yes, he is.
Understand?
He's a good egg.
Of us. All right, Jimmy, what else do we got? Because I'll tell you, we had a heck of a show, heck of a program. And on Wednesday, we're going to preview the fights on the Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker.
Dan Hooker, Dan Hooker.
Dan Ige's got a fight coming.
I know. I just mixed up the names.
It's very exciting. Jimmy, yeah. I'm really enjoying that the fights are back.
I am too. Dude, it's literally when you watch, and again, I know that baseball is a team sport, but when you watch how eager fighters were to get back and how baseball players are like, well, we'll see. You know, I love it. And there's no way this is doing anything but great things for the UFC, because people who were not fans are watching. People who wouldn't have watched before because they'd rather watch fucking hockey or but nothing else is on, they're going to watch this and they're going to see how exciting it is. So I hope this is really helping the UFC a lot. Because that helps us, because I'm selfish and I want a job.
Jimmy, what do you want me to sing to end this? What do you want me to sing?
What I would like you to
end this.
There's a song.
Because, damn it, I'm all pent up, Jimmy.
I know what you're
saying. I'm all pent up. How about I need to just belt out a tune.
Okay.
What do you want to hear to end this end this episode?
The song called Jimmy Just Closed His Window, and no, I don't know what to do.
Don't do it, Jimmy. Goodbye, everybody.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.